Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Mr. Lobo, what is it about horror films that people just love? They want to get scared.
Of course, people do want to get scared. I think for a lot of us, some of it's a rite of passage in the beginning. You know, I mean, I know that I watched those movies just so I could hang out with my dad. You know, he was watching those movies late at night on TV.
I was the same way. My dad liked sci-fi films and would take me to the movie house. He didn't like to go alone. My mom didn't like him. I would go with him. You know, we would see all those horror things, the Mysterians, all those movies.
Oh, yeah, you know, and I mean, half the time, you know, I was on the edge of my seat or ready to hiding under the furniture, and it was kind of a rite of passage, and I do think it's like a roller coaster. People just, you know, it's a thrill, and it's at the end of it all, you get brought back home safe, and you survived it. And I think that's the thing. And I think it's a horror that we can control. And in the end of the day, we can walk away from, you know, whereas, you know, the stuff that's happening in the news and the stuff that's happening in real life is, you know, we don't ultimately have any control over it, but a movie or a comic or anything, you can feel brave in this fantasy world.
When I was a kid, I went and saw the original House on the Haunted Hill.
Oh, man.
God, that was scary. Oh.
We did that live, George, with all the gimmicks.
Did you?
The registered nurses in attendance, and we had all these amplified sound effects, and we had a skeleton coming down on a wire over the audience, and I had my puppet master rig on where I'm turning the crank and making the skeleton come out. It was great. It was a blast.
What would you say was for you personally, your all-time favorite horror film?
That's really tough, George.
It is tough because they're all good.
As far as the classics, I don't know why, but I really love The Invisible Man. I really get a charge out of it. I think that the performance of Claude Rains and his voice, and the fact that you don't see him at all, and it scared me so bad when I was a kid because, you know, the main character is invisible from the start of the movie, so it's just that voice, that creepy voice throughout the whole thing. And then Son of Frankenstein and The Blob, of course. You know, I mean, I'm the MC of Blobfest, and that's by no accident. I absolutely love The Blob. And then later films, you know, I mean, I think Alien is a really scary film. I think that there are some modern ones that are really, truly great and are scary. I never really was a much of a fan of, I never liked The Exorcist or any of those ones. I think that those ones are a little too...
Were they too corny for you?
I don't know. I just feel like they're not as fun. You know, I kind of like a little more fantasy in my horror films. You know, I mean, I think, you know, Return of the Living Dead is fun, and, you know, all the zombies and monsters. You know, when it's people getting possessed, it's fine. You know, my wife loves all those exorcism movies, but that's just not my bag.
Let me throw some movies your way and give me your critique, okay?
Okay.
The Shining,
a classic. Love it. Fantastic movie. Scary, still holds up. New generation of fans find it over and over again. Does not follow the book at all. There's not even twins in the book. He's killing people with a croquet mallet in the book. But this is, I believe, probably one of the few instances where I feel the movie is superior to the book.
Starring Jack Nicholson. Came out in 1980, I believe.
Yes, 1980. Shelley Duvall was marvelous in the picture. Scatman Crothers was good in the picture. I mean, just stellar performances, a chilling Stanley Kubrick in his prime. You know, I feel like it's a classic.
1996, The Scream.
The Scream, yes. You know, Scream was good. I mean, definitely what I liked about Scream was that it kind of acknowledged all of these cliches from all the previous horror movies and actually created a rule book. It's like, okay, get six teenagers together. And they pretty much broke down all the rules of all the slasher movies of the 80s and made fun of them, which I thought was fun. It had some satirical qualities to it.
1982, Poltergeist.
Poltergeist is fantastic. Toby Hooper, who did the original Texas Chainsaw, and Steven Spielberg, of course, of Close Encounters and everything else. Those two together, I think, created something that had heart, had atmosphere, genuine scares. And ghost movies are hard because usually what happens in ghost movies is in the last act it falls apart, because once you discover the mystery as to why their ghosts are there, the mystery is the thing that makes it strong, and once the mystery is solved, it kind of loses its mystique and its power. Whereas Poltergeist doesn't quite do that. You know, the last act is really strong and exciting, and that no one could predict the climax of that movie, whatever that thing is still with them and still following them, and we don't really truly understand it, which makes it much more scary.
Number 1968 year, Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. William Castle wanted to direct that, our House on Haunted Hill producer, and because he had such a reputation with gimmicks, they had Roman Polanski do it because they wanted to make a serious picture.
Wasn't Mia Farrow in that one?
Mia Farrow was in it, and it ended up, you know, I believe winning the Oscar. And,
yeah.
And I believe, you know, they did get the prestige they wanted to make that film work. And, you know, his eyes. What have you done to his eyes?
Ha-ha. I think she was married to Sinatra at that time, too.
Probably.
Right, around there.
Yeah. She had that mod haircut. Everyone was trying to look like her. It's
classic.
Not one of my faves, but it's definitely a solid movie and a classic.
2018, one I did not see, Hereditary.
I did not see it.
You didn't see that either. That's supposed to be pretty good.
She enjoyed it. She said it was good. I haven't seen it yet, but I do plan on watching it. I think from all I've heard, it's very well done.
73, The Exorcist.
Again, not my bag, but definitely
a classic
movie. And there are, what's neat about The Exorcist is to look for the subliminal messages in that movie. There are a couple placements of a ghoulish face, just one frame. And if you look for it, it's there. And that, I think that punctuates a lot of the scares in that movie, or some of those subliminal effects.
1984, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, when I saw that, I saw it right after Dreamscape. And I thought, oh, these guys are just ripping off Dreamscape. Do you remember that movie?
Yep.
Where they're trying to assassinate the president through his dreams. I thought that was a brilliant script. I like Dreamscape better, but, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street gave us Freddy Krueger, which is probably one of our more enduring modern monsters.
1978. God, I can't believe it was that long ago.
Halloween. Oh, my goodness. I love the originally titled The Babysitter Killers. John Carpenter's kind of breakthrough film. He had done Assault on Precinct 13 before, I believe. But Halloween definitely is a modern classic. I think the remake that they did, or the reboot, or I don't know what you want to call it, the thing they did that came out last year was fantastic. Truly great performances by Jamie Lee Curtis. And
she was in the original, too, wasn't she?
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis was in the original, and she was in this one that came out last year. And it was interesting the way that they sort of ignored the whole rest of the series, and basically just this happens basically 40 years after the first one, and in the new one, it kind of shows what that event did to both of them, and how they kind of both became dependent on each other, or almost that they're not, I don't know if they're the same person. It's kind of interesting how they kind of tied those two characters together in the new one. I don't want to spoil it, but the original, of course, is just a classic. You know, it's the campfire tale of the babysitter alone in the house with this serial killer on the loose, and the mask, which was terrifying, is really just William Shatner's face.
2012, one I don't remember, The Cabin in the Woods. Do you remember that one?
Yes. I saw it at the drive-in, believe it or not.
Was it a good one?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. You know, it was another one like Scream, where they kind of are poking fun at all the cliched horror films of the 80s. But what was interesting is that there was not really a conspiracy, but there was a government-funded kind of experiment where they are deliberately doing these different things to these kids who go out into the woods and get murdered in these dumb movies. So there's this whole underground base where there's all these different monsters and serial killers and demons and everything you can think of in cages waiting to be released in these experiments. It was really funny. The humor of it was great because for the guys working in this government installation, it was just another day at the office where they're torturing these teenagers, you know, and it was funny. It was very self-aware
and
funny.
And the last one we'll talk about here, 1968, hard to believe, 51 years ago, Night of the Living Dead.
It's the one that changed everything, you know. I mean, before that, zombies were always, you know, voodoo zombies. And this kind of basically transformed the whole zombie genre. You know, there would be no Walking Dead without Night of the Living Dead. And it is truly a classic. I think it had some poignancy with what was happening in the 60s and civil rights and how there was kind of a revolution happening. And I think there were a lot of parallels with that where our whole society was turned inside out by the events of the 60s, and I think Night of the Living Dead definitely reflects that. I think that and the cynicism, I mean, that ending is just a downer.
It sure was. What's new with the Mr. Lobo movie?
Mr. Lobo movie. Well, it's very bizarre. I met with a cinematographer. We were going to try to make our Halloween special a little more special this year. I wrote a Werewolves and Witches special, and when he read the script, he said, "You know, I think there's a Mr. Lobo movie in this. What if we just not show a movie and just expand this to feature length?" So that we're going to try and do that this year, and I'm very excited about it.
And your show, some of your shows are on Roku, aren't they?
Oh yes, I have my own channel. It's called OSI 74. A lot of kind of cheesy UHF kind of stuff on there. And Cinema Insomnia. There's two seasons of Cinema Insomnia up there right now, with more to come. And so we're just streaming has been good for us. We've got a whole new audience, about 150,000 plays a month. So we're excited about the world of streaming, because I think it's a good way to find people.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.